chapter 5. We'll be looking and thinking about the idea of the fruit of salvation this morning. Chapter 3 and 4 that we've been studying through Romans, Paul has argued that the basis of man's justification or salvation cannot be on anything alone, that through keeping the law or heritage or any of those things, he knocked all the props out, that none of us were righteous, none of us are right before God. In fact, Romans 3:23 said, all have sinned and fall what? Short of the glory of God. And then we got over to chapter 4, and he's using Abraham as the prime example of a person that believes in faith. And he's established that, hey, Abraham was not because he was keeping the law or because of circumcision last Sunday, but because he knew Christ. He believed what God told him, and for he believed in the Christ to come. And we ended the discussion, how does Old Testament people, how are they saved? The same way. They believed in the Christ to come. We believe in the Christ that's came and coming again. And so as we get to chapter 5, there's a notable change. If you're not careful, we see that he starts out in at the beginning, Paul's talking about, I am not ashamed of the gospel of Christ in chapter 1. And then he starts from 2 over to 3, and he's talking about they and how people, he separated himself from the people that believe in anything other than faith in Christ. And then when we get here to 5, he starts saying, including himself and saying, we. And so he's including himself in the people of faith, those that believe in faith of Jesus Christ, or through the faith and believe in God through obedience. And so, you know, I was thinking about this scripture this week and studying it. Great next couple of weeks are difficult passages, if we're not careful, can be very difficult. So making them palatable and understanding it, and it's one of the things that and challenges that I love as a pastor. But also I was thinking about how, if we're not careful, our walk with Christ is kind of sometimes like a lot of marriages. You say, what are you talking about? Well, a lot of marriages, they start out with great optimism and buoyancy and this idea of this zeal and passion, and if we're not careful, after some time, it's just lived out as a fading memory of the past. It should never be that way, by the way. And when we first get saved and come to know Christ, there's this tremendous zeal. Don't you love to see new Christians in Christ, and they have this fervor to go out and share and spread and talk about what Christ has done. And if we're not careful, we just go through life and the routine of life, and some of that optimism or buoyancy is lost. It should never be that way. Christian life begins on a high plane, and it should continue to an even higher plane as we grow in our sanctification and our walk with Christ. And because we believe in Jesus Christ, we should be this personal sanctification. We should be growing in Him daily in our walk. And so as we get into this passage today, Romans chapter 5, 1 through 11. It's a wonderful passage with the potential to encourage and excite all of us. I want us to think about, as we look at this, as the fruit of salvation. Let's stand on our feet and reverence the reading of God's Word, Romans chapter 5. If you'll turn in God's Word, Romans chapter 5, we'll be looking at 1 through 11. The Word of God says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith and into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out into our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us, in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of His Son, much more, having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. Let's pray. Father, for just a few minutes, I pray, hide me behind the cross. May Your word go forth for Your glory, in Christ's name. Amen. You may be seated. The fruit of salvation. I want us to think about this fruit. And to begin with, I want us to think about peace and grace. Look at verses 1 through 2a. And the word says, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we also have access by faith into His grace in which we stand. Therefore, he's talking about connects, as we talked about, 3 and 4. And so it's his argument, and he's bringing it up. He said, it's especially 3 and 4, he's showing us that, hey, we don't have any right standing with God by what we do or what we rely on, but whose we are, and that faith-based. So we are subject to the wrath of God and alienated from Him because of sin. We saw that, especially in 3. We're alienated from God. Our relationship is broken as we're born into sin. And we'll see that next Sunday in Adam and Christ. We'll study that out in the second part of this chapter. But I want you to know, Paul says, all of our lives were tainted by sin from birth. We're born in sin and it's tainted by sin. But Paul says, having been justified by faith, look what he says, we have peace with God. What a wonderful statement. We have peace with God. The moment that we place our trust in the Lord Jesus, we find peace with God. And we'll talk about that a little bit. Colossians 1:20 says, and it's an objective peace, by the way, and by Him to reconcile all things to Himself by Him, whether things on earth or things in heaven, having made peace through the blood of the cross. It's an objective peace. What are you talking about? It's not based on my feelings. It's not based on whether I feel like I'm at peace, but the promise of God that says I'm at peace when I receive Jesus Christ. And so because it is objective based on the promise, it's very subjective. Say, what are you talking about? I feel the peace of God in my own life. You say, what do you mean? And we'll talk about that in just a minute. Listen, we are, and we'll see that, we are enemies with God when we are born into sin. And we reach that age of accountability, we're this enemy against God, as we'll see. We are separated, alienated from Him. There is a part of us that is missing. I don't know about you, but I spent 28 years trying to figure out what that part was. We Coopers are born that way, that you've heard me talking about, that the grass is always greener. We're always looking for something to satisfy us. We're always thinking, well, maybe if whatever you want to fill in the blank there, that will bring satisfaction in our lives. There's only, listen, and we're all, if the truth be known, we're all born with that, like there's something missing. I called it a lack of peace, and when I look back and could see what God did, I called it a lack of peace. You know what that is? It's this huge void because I'm separated from my loving Creator, from God. And so what we do, we try to fill our life. You know what we'll fill it with? Well, we'll fill it with careers. We'll try to find our place in career, finding something that brings satisfaction to us through a job that, hey, we got to work a job, so let's have fun at it. Let's find something that fulfills it. How's that going, by the way, this morning? If you found that one that you just have fun, you say, well, I love my job. And there's some people that do, but most of us, we fall short. And we are always looking for something to fulfill us through career. How about relationships? We'll go to relate. We'll think, well, I need this person, this man or this woman that'll make me feel complete because I'm not complete without them. We'll never find that satisfaction. We'll keep looking. Or fun, hobbies. Having fun, we men, you know what the old saying says, the difference between men and boys are what? Size of their toys. We grow up, we have fun, and we just try to find fulfillment in fun. Or sports. Man, when that 54-yard field goal went through there yesterday, look, there's a God! Woo! He missed 151 to pull an accuracy. Ain't no way he's going to miss that, look. Woo! Said he's on the phone. We find fulfillment in that. Nothing wrong with these things, but listen, nothing takes the place of Christ. And you will try as you might, and you'll search until you're an old man or old woman and wonder, what am I missing in life? That's what Paul's saying, is peace with God. We have to have this peace, this reconciliation. It's not a feeling, but when we're made right with God, you know, I don't know about you. You know the Christmas story's coming up, right? Everybody says, Christmas, be here for you. You know, that's the truth, right? We're in October now. You remember the old shepherds are out there right in Bethlehem, they're watching the sheep, and what happens? An angel of the Lord bursts on the side, don't he? And he's telling them, "What? Go down into Bethlehem and find your Savior. He's laying in a manger," and it's like heaven couldn't help, but they burst forth in the night sky, and what are they singing? What are they singing? Peace on earth, right? Goodwill to men. Where's the peace come from? A relationship with Christ. The Savior's been born. Peace was laying in the manger. And so it's that. Paul's saying we have peace with God now because, and it's very subjective. Why? Because I don't know about you, before I came to know Christ, I didn't have that peace. I could have fun. I could have some fulfillment, but it was like I was missing something. But when Christ got a hold of my soul, February 28, 1990, listen, somebody brought me to church. I'm so glad. Invite somebody to come to church. Why? They might end up like a redneck preacher one day, right? Look. He invited me to church, and I went finally, and I heard the message of God, and he was talking about how we don't have peace with God, this very thing. And I knew in my heart I had been a searcher and grappling for it. And that night I just finally surrendered, gave it up, and said, you know what? No more fighting against it. No more trying to find fulfillment in all the things of the world. And that night, peace entered my heart. You said, listen, I don't know about you, but I was a heathen, okay? I knew what it was to be lost, all the things of the world. When I got up, the trees looked different. The sky was bluer. I'm telling you, it was a transformation. It was like, oh, Lord, what happened? The Holy Spirit had come and moved into my life. And he had fulfilled the huge void that I was looking for, trying to stuff in there. He fulfilled that. And it was peace. And it's like, finally, Lord, thank you. Thank you so much. It was like a huge weight. It was like you carried around this weight. It was like this invisible weight, but you carried it around trying your best to get rid of it. And that night, he took it off. The weight was gone. The scales had fallen off my eyes. It was like, wow. It's unlike any peace that we've ever known. In fact, Philippians says it's a peace that passes all understanding. How can you have peace in the midst of some of the things that you guys have went through and we've gone through? How can you have peace? Because there's a peace that cannot be moved and taken away by the things of the world or the situations that we go through. And we'll see the root of our peace will be joy, and we'll see that in our next point. But I want you to think about, not only is it peace, but look at verse 2, through whom we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand. So it's peace and grace. It's peace and grace. You say, what? Well, and that grace, it says that we have access. That word is actually like before a dignitary or a king. You just couldn't come busting in on a king, right? You have to have access. It's like, if I wanted to go see President Barack Obama right now, I couldn't just go busting into the White House and say, "What's happening, Obama?" Well, you can't, right? But when we have access, when we have this person that brings us in, and that's what he's saying, this grace through Christ, you know what we have access into? The very throne room of God. The very throne room. You know what? I don't have to rely on a man to pray for me. I don't have to go and confess to a man, although it's good to be accountable to friends and let people know when you're struggling. I don't have to go to a man to lift up a prayer for me. I can go straight into the throne room. I have access through grace, through the faith in Jesus Christ. He becomes the one that I'd be able to come before the king. We have this access through grace. That old acronym about grace, God's riches at Christ's expense. That's what we have through him. And we have this access now into the very throne room of God. It says, come boldly before the throne of grace. That's not a confidence in myself. I know what self gets me. But I have confidence in what my Savior did for me and where he saved me. And now I can come before the throne of grace at any time. Why? Because I have access through Christ and through his blood. Peace and grace always go together. And it's the basis of our rejoicing. Look what it says at the end of verse 2, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. And it's going even further. Not only do we have grace and peace, but we have joy in the glory and tribulations, verses 2b through 4. It says, and rejoice in the hope of the glory of God, and not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulations produce perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. We experience peace and grace, and you know what that does? It brings joy to us. True joy. I'm not talking about happiness. Happiness will stem on your situation. You ever notice that? Oh, I'm happy one day, and then something goes back. Oh, I'm not having too good a day. That's happiness. But joy is, you know what? No matter what I'm facing, no matter what comes my way, I have something that cannot be moved. Peace and grace with God through the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And it brings joy. Listen, John 1 and 14, John says, you know, and the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, and we beheld His glory, the glory as of the only begotten of the Father, full of grace and truth. John said when Jesus was on this earth, he said, we beheld His glory. He came for that purpose, to bring us that peace and grace, but it was the glory of God manifested through Christ on earth. And it says, we rejoice in the hope of the glory of God. Who is the hope of the glory? It's Christ, but there's also a day coming in the future when our justification, our salvation, and our sanctification becomes to fulfillment and glorification with God. One day, do you realize that Christ is coming back? And all this mess and garbage that we're so caught up in that will be gone. And He'll come back and we'll stand glorified before Him. Why? Because what He's done. No more fallenness. No more garbage that's on the news. No more of this surrounded by flesh and struggling with my own self. The glorification, the glory of God. And we're working towards that. In fact, if you remember, what does Romans 3:23 say? We're all what? We all sin and fall what? Short of the glory of God. So we've fallen short of the glory of God, but now that we see this, we rejoice in the hope of His glory. That separates. We rejoice. We fell short on our own, but in Christ, you know what? We rejoice in the hope of that glory, which is through Christ and to come. And we can look forward to it. It gives us hope. Men will work desperately for that peace, for that joy, for that hope. The world without hope, you live in a world and you see the results of men without hope and women without hope. They do desperate things. Why? Because they're groping and searching for hope. And there is none. So many people try to reach up and earn their way for that peace that they cannot earn on their own. When the cross of Christ says, whosoever will, let him come. And find what? Peace. Peace. And he said, and he goes on, he's not just talking about hope and the glory, but what else did he say? And this is only through supernatural means. What does it say? And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations. Believers' sufferings, they have a positive effect. Believers' sufferings do. You say, what are you talking about? Vance Havner told a story. An old preacher. Love Vance Havner quotes, by the way. He tells a story about a southern town, a small southern town that was poor. And they made their living by raising cotton. The whole town relied on the cotton crop. Guess what? One year, the boll weevil shows up. And what does it do? It wiped out the entire cotton crop. The town was devastated. They didn't know what to do. But they thought, hey, we'll plant another crop. And they chose peanuts to plant instead of cotton. And it grew and it prospered. The most prosperous they'd ever been was from the peanut crop. You know what they did? They built a monument to what? The boll weevil. They said it was because of the boll weevil that they planted the peanuts. And so they built a monument to never forget that the hardship of what the boll weevil brought prosperity to their little town. I want you to know, we all have boll weevil experiences. Let's be honest here, okay? Financially, spiritually, emotionally, we have boll weevil experiences, and yet we see in God's Word that it's anything that bumps us off the tracks that God can use that to draw us closer to Him and to bring glory and to experience His glory through our tribulations. And it says it brings perseverance. God will use tragedies to better our lives. Can anybody say amen to that? Oh, we don't want to sign up for it, okay? If I put out a sheet back here, okay, we're signing up for tribulations this morning. How many names will be on it? We don't like tribulations, but yet God will use, how many of us could testify? It's like that old song, it was in the night, in the troubled times of my life, that God's grace became so real to me. It's those tribulations that draw us close to Him. And it brings maturity. We see Paul talks about 3 and 4, that tribulations makes us mature. It makes us mature. It says, look, tribulations produces perseverance. And that word perseverance is to abide under stability or steadfastness. That's what it brings in our life. What does that produce? Character. And it's a word used, that word character is used in refining metal. It actually, I heard one preacher use it as sterling. Sterling, that's what we were. We're sterling character. And Charles Hodge actually said that he's speaking of a tried integrity. When we have tried integrity, it pushes us to hope in Christ and for the glory of God. We have this tried one. When we go through the tribulations, it brings perseverance, this to abide under or this stability, and it produces character, which is a tried integrity in our life. And you know what that does? That it doesn't matter what comes our way. What do? We point it to Christ. And we make much of Him. Now, I want you to know that this brings incredible joy. Listen to 2 Corinthians 12, 9 and 10. This is Paul says, therefore, most gladly, I would rather boast in my infirmities that the power of Christ may rest upon me. Therefore, I take pleasure in infirmities, in reproaches, in needs, in persecutions, in distress for Christ's sake. For when I am weak, then I am strong. This is the section where Paul was praying about the thorn in the flesh, asking God to remove it from him. But then he realized, listen. He realized that it was through that very thorn that he would gladly boast more of his infirmities. That word boast actually means rejoice. It's the same word. I'll rejoice in it. Tribulations are the path to glory. In fact, it's been in the lowest valleys of my life that I felt God's presence the closest. He was there. We want to push away the bitter cup. But it's often that cup that brings the most joy. Hope does not disappoint because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. For when we were still without strength in due time, Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man would one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates His own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, we're still sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, having now been justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through His death of the Son of God, much more having been reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. And not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus, through whom we now have received reconciliation. His love. Once we receive this salvation, that we keep it forever. And some people vacillate on that. There might even be different beliefs here today. That, you know, some people believe you can lose your salvation. I don't know about you, but if I felt like I could lose my salvation, I would be wondering where the line was and when I crossed it. And all I would get done would be asking forgiveness. And I'm not making fun of people that feel that way, but I don't base my eternal security on what I do or what I don't do. I base it on the love of God. And we'll see that played out in these scriptures. The love of God. In fact, that word is agape that we know that means agape, unconditional love. And it's never used as a man's love, by the way, but it's always the God's love for man. He has this agape love. And it's been poured out. It actually means it's continually being poured out. It's poured out upon us. Constantly. and look at the agency of that love by the Holy Spirit who's been given to us. So we have this pouring out, this constant pouring out of the love of God into our life by the Holy Spirit which abides in us. And he gives this great example of the love. His illustration is the greatest hero. It says, for when we die, look, it says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. But he says, yet perhaps for a good man, someone would even dare to die. He's saying, you know what? The greatest hero of all died for us when we wasn't fit to be given his life for, okay? It wasn't anything that we did or earned, or he didn't see any goodness in us. And we'll see that it was poured out. Because verse 6 talks about, when we get to that, it says, for when we were without strength, we're helpless. Verse 6, again, ungodly. It's describing us. Verse 8, while we were still sinners, we were sinners. Verse 10, we were enemies. Does that sound like a good list right there for you? Think, well, I'm going to die for that person. They're so good. Such a good person. He's showing us that we didn't earn that in any way. This is what we were, helpless, ungodly, sinners, enemies against God. What we were when he says when he poured out his love upon us. Poured out his love and teaches us that love was unmotivated by us, okay? We didn't earn it in any way. He didn't see some goodness in us, and that's what motivated God to send Christ. No, he said that we were helpless, ungodly, sinners, and enemies against God. Love that was uncaused. And I love it. Romans, he'll return back to Romans in 8, one of my favorite chapters in all Scripture. We'll get there sooner or later. When Paul says, who shall separate us from the love of God? The answer is nobody. Why? Because it's not motivated on us, on what we do, but it's motivated on his love. You're eternally secure if you're a child of God. Why? It's because of his love for you. Period. How much is his love? This much. We can rejoice. We can rejoice in our tribulation because of his love, his peace, his grace can never be taken away from us. We rejoice in this hope, he says. And you know what? That should be enough. We could stop right there and say, yeah, praise the Lord. Christ died for us. But look, he goes on down in verses 9 and 10, and he's building this from the lesser to the greater argument because he keeps saying, much more than. You say, Paul, my goodness, look what you've already given us. Much more than, having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from the wrath through him. He said, God saved us for his blood, and he saved us from the wrath, the judgment that's coming in the future on all the children of disobedience. In fact, he took us from being enemies, and what did he do? He made us a child. That's being more than a conqueror, ain't it? When you turn your enemies into children and friends and family, and that's what Christ He said, how much more so, much more justified by his blood, we're saved from the wrath. That's our verse. There's no condemnation. Therefore, there is no condemnation. We will not stand condemned before God because of what Christ has done for us. Period. And then he goes on, look, verse 10, he says, for if when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God through the death of his son, look, there's that word, much more. He just keeps building much more. Having been reconciled, we shall be saved by his life. You know what he's saying? He said, we're counting on his death to make us right with God. How much more so his life? Hello, he resurrected and he stands at the right hand of God making intercession for us. How much more so is he going to keep us in right relationship with God? Praise God, you are eternally secure in Jesus Christ this morning. If he's your Savior. He's your personal Savior. He said, how much more so when his resurrected life will keep us right with God? And not only that, look what he says. And not only that, verse 11, he just keeps on piling it on. Not only that, but we also rejoice in God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom we have now received the reconciliation. You know what he's saying? We've been reconciled to God through Christ. We've received this reconciliation. In Christ, we have right standing with God. How in the world that you didn't earn, you didn't do anything to deserve it, it was God's grace, how in the world are you going to do anything to not deserve it? He said this reconciliation was made right. And when we are right with God, it's going to motivate our life to live for Him. I don't live right because I want to be right with God. I live right because I am right with God. Do you understand the difference? There's a tremendous motivation now because there's an anchor in my life that's called Christ. The Holy Spirit of God dwells within me that, you know what, when I do something that doesn't line up with God's Word, you know what He does? Boop. Son, what are you doing? That's looking like the old Dave to me, and that's not lining up with my Word. It's like, oh, just leave me alone. Nope, He won't. The Holy Spirit dwells within me now, and He shows me when I don't line up my motives, my language, the things that I do, I'm His child forever I am. I don't know who holds tomorrow, but I know who holds my hand. Listen, what does it matter what's coming tomorrow if we know whose we are and who's holding our hand? You see, it doesn't matter. Why? Because God. He's in control. What a day that will be when my Jesus I shall see, and I look upon His face, the one who saved me by His grace, when He takes me by the hand and leads me through the promised land. What a day, glorious day that will be. Listen, Scripture says He's already holding your hand, right? Oh, it's going to be fulfilled one of these days. You say, well, who in the world's that hollering? That's me over there, by the way. I'm going through the script. Hey, Jesus, woo! This is so good. We need to get a little more excited today, right? Why in the world, if I can get excited, woo, when that ball goes through an upright, which don't mean a thing in eternity, how much more so when I realize my right standing with Jesus Christ will last forever and ever and ever, and it doesn't matter what comes into my life, I can find joy and fulfillment in Him. Listen, that don't make you shout, something's wrong. That don't ring your bell, your clapper's broke. That don't light your fire, your wood's wet. What a day that will be. I can never boast of anything, only God. That's the only thing we can ever boast on. There was no goodness in us. John Stott said this, and what a great statement. We should be the most positive people in the world. Does anybody believe that? We should be the most positive people in the world. Listen, how in the world can we mullygrub around when we have Christ and we have these great promises that through Christ, that we have Him forever and ever. Nothing can snatch us from His hand. How in the world can we not be positive? Let me tell you how we forget to be positive, or we lose that focus of positive, is we allow the world to creep in, and the things of the world, and the temporal things will overcome the eternal things. We'll be negative. Yeah. You know what you do? You get down on people. You say, yeah, they're probably going to do that. That's what everybody does. Sounds like me. If I'm not careful, that's what I allow the things of the world to do. We should be the most positive people. Why? Jesus is still on the throne, folks. Paul said, man, that when we accept Him through faith and we understand it's not in anything that we did to earn that, that it was all in what God did through Christ in eternity past, that we'll live that out by day when the Holy Spirit of God dwells within me and I have a little taste of that future to come. There's something inside me that understands that I wish I could put into words sometimes, but I can't. It's so much greater than even human words that I have something that holds in a world that vacillates, that people are looking for that fulfillment when it's right in front of them. And I was the same way until the Holy Spirit of God opened up my own eyes and said, that's what it was all along, the thing that I've been kicking I didn't want anything to do with, because those hypocrites were living one way and saying another. And I realized Satan was using that to keep me from being a child of God. One day I'm going to stand before Christ And it's not going to be about what everybody else did, but it's going to be about what David Cooper did for Christ and with Christ. Period. So I can use all excuses I want to about how somebody, church people shouldn't be that way, shouldn't act that way. Listen, church people's going to have to give an answer for that, okay? It's not going to keep us from being our giving our own account. You're not going to be able to make excuses and say, well, that just didn't line up. When the Word of God says, this is how it is, period. Doesn't have anything to do with you believe it or not either. God said it, period. Let's applications and we'll done. We need to rejoice, God. We need to rejoice in the Lord for it together. You know what? Applications. Do you have peace with God? Do you have peace in your life? Is there peace in your life? I promise you, you know. You can mull it over, smooth it over. You want to? Do you have peace in your life? Number two, when was the last time you found joy in your hardships? Why is it we're always working hard? We're trying to get out of the hardships when there's joy in the midst of the hardships. When was the last time you found joy in your hardship? And lastly, are you a positive person? How positive of a person are you? Let's stand to our feet. We'll have a time of response. Who's going to play, Wilma? By the way, Linda Norris has shingles, so remember her. Thank you, Wilma, for filling in for her. Listen, though, what is it the Lord said to you today? No more, not just beating it around. What has God said to you today? If you're lost, you know what I'm talking about, not having the peace. You try to fill it up and you know you feel like you're missing something. What is it that you're missing? Could it be Christ this morning? And you're willing to say, you know what, I'm tired of trying to figure it out. I'm giving it to Christ. Come and give it to Christ. Is it that you know, I'm not a very positive person. I've really got pretty negative on life. I'm one of them people just kind of grumble and complain. Could it be that maybe you've lost your focus on what God's done for you and the goodness? When was the last time you said, Lord, I'm going through the hardest time of my life. I just want to say, thank you. Let me learn this lesson. I just love you, Lord. Let me learn this and find that integrity that you said comes from this situation. Whatever it is that God has said to you, respond to Him in obedience. I'm not going to have singing today. I'm just going to have this time of response. What is it? Shut your eyes. Close your eyes. Do work. Do business with God. What is it that the Lord is saying to you? Do you need to be saved? Do you need to see Christ as your Savior? Do you need to say, hey, Lord, you know what? I just need to say thank you. I've been pretty negative. I've got caught up in this old world and lost my focus. Thank you this morning, Lord. What is it God's saying to you? We'll take just a few moments. Sin had left a crimson stain, but He washed it white as snow. Praise the Lord. All right, look here. If you were scared to walk an aisle, it's all right. God knows. You can be saved right where you're at. You don't have to walk an aisle. It's not in walking an aisle, but it's in letting the Lord know what your heart is. If you receive Christ, you let me know that, please. I don't think you're going to keep it to yourself, though, if you do receive it. Maybe God spoke to you and you said, you know what, I just didn't feel comfortable. Just see me. That's why I'm here. I love you. Tonight, 6 o'clock, come back for the brotherhood and the women's meeting. I love each and every one of you. Praying for you. So glad Doug and Connie come up. Good to see you. It's always good to have you here and all your other visitors. So thankful. We're just simple people, just country folks that love Jesus and love each other. That's what we are. And if you're looking for a church home, looking for a purpose church, don't come here while I'm here. Okay? That's it. I'm here. Don't get upset now, Yvonne. I'm just saying I'm not perfect. I know. Yvonne takes up for me, okay? I'm here because I'm not perfect. That's what I'm saying. Thank you, Lord. But if you're looking for a church full of people that just love Jesus, love each other. This is it. So, whatever the Lord said. Lee closes in prayer.